This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
So, obviously, we're in the season of the winter break, or, you know, Christmas break, as they say. And this is a season where people are celebrating this holiday. So it's important for us to understand, what is Christmas? Where does it come from? What is the history behind it? And what does Islam say about the same festival? And when we understand these things, you know, we need to have this mentality that we live in a society and we live in a culture that exists. It's just there. But we don't just say, okay, well, it exists, it's there, but we don't try to understand it. It's very important that we try to understand certain things. In Islam, when we have a practice that is introduced to us, when we're told that we pray or that we fast, we're supposed to try to understand the underlying rationale behind why we do these things. And every other religion, every other group, they have certain things that they do. It's our responsibility as Muslims to try to understand the background behind that, and to try to understand why they do the things that they do, and what is the basis for what they do, you know, with the basis for what they're doing. So with that, we're going to analyze the origin of Christmas, right? So first of all, what is Christmas? Who can tell me? If you had to define what Christmas is, what would you say? Know what? Okay, the birth of Isa, the birth of Prophet Jesus. What else? That's it. Any other definitions? Okay, alhamdulillah. So that's basically, it's a festival, right? So it's a commemoration of the birth of Prophet Jesus, or as they say, Jesus Christ. This is a Christian festival. Right, so when we understand that, that's what Christians are saying. That's what Christmas is about. Where does the actual word Christmas come from? Does anyone know what the origin of the word itself is? Okay, has anyone heard the word? So do you see the word in there? There's Christ, right? So Jesus Christ. Where does the word Christ come from? Right. So in the Quran, Does the Quran use the word Christ for Jesus? Yes or no? He says no. You're nodding. You're saying yes. Okay. So I got a no and I got a yes. So why is there a yes? So you've seen the word Christ in a translation of the Quran? Okay. So is that Jesus' last name? Like Mr. Jesus, last name Christ. Okay, so where does it come from? Huh? Comes from Greek, right? From Christos. So what does that actually mean? It means a person that is anointed, or a person that is chosen. And the other word for that is Messiah. And Messiah is something that's used in the Quran, the word Masih, right? It means that someone is anointed. So this is exactly where it's coming from. The word Christ is there, and then the word mass is there. So Christmas is Christ's mass. Meaning, what is mass? So we talked about what Christ is. Christ is a nickname for Prophet Isa alayhi salam, for Prophet Jesus, because he was the one that the Jews were expecting would come and save them. But of course, they didn't want to follow him, so that didn't work, right? But that's what he's known as, Al-Masih, the Messiah. That's the other name for Christ in Greek. But the word mass, If you have any Catholic friends, they'll tell you that I was attending Mass, or that we were doing Mass in the church the other day. Mass basically means liturgy, which is a public worship that people do inside the church. So when you combine these two terms together, it's saying the Mass of Christ, meaning the public worship that we do for Jesus, for Christ. That's where the word Christmas actually comes from, and they combine them two together, and they made it into Christmas. Now, the first time this term, the term Christmas, was ever used was in the year 1038. Okay? And you have to understand, 1038, this is CE, Common Era. You can say Christian Era. So if the first time that the term Christmas is being used is in 1038, when was the first Christmas, quote-unquote, commemoration of the birth of Jesus celebration? It was in the year 336. So the term came later, but the first celebration was in 336. 336, according to Christian calculations, is how many years after the passing away of Prophet Isa alayhi salam? Okay, so the calendar, you know, they have this calendar, right? You have years before zero, they're known as BCE or BC, right? Before the Common Era, before Christ, before Christian Era. So what does that mean? Before his birth? Before his birth. So when did he pass away technically, or when did he go away from this earth? How many years approximately? 33. So you subtract 336 from 33, and what are you left with? 100. Okay, so next Friday, we're going to have a math class, arithmetic class, to figure out how to subtract 336. 336 minus 33. Can anyone help us? 303. Alhamdulillah. So 303 years after Prophet Isa went away. Okay, that's the first celebration that is documented. So the question is, what happened prior to the year 336? What was going on? According to Christian records, according to Christian accounts, what was taking place, right? So we're going to look at that in a moment. In the 4th century, you see that the Western Christian Church, they decided to fix the celebration of Christmas on the 25th of December, okay? And what you find is the Eastern Christian churches, there was a debate, a division between the Western and the Eastern Christian churches. They said, we won't accept December 25th according to this calendar that you're using, but the calendar should be according to the Julian calendar, not the Gregorian calendar. So the Julian calendar, December 25th, converts to January 7th, and is still practiced as January 7th or January 6th or January, different dates in January, in different countries in the world today. So it's not always December 25th. So, but it originated from the concept of fixing it and setting it to December 25th. So where did that come from, and why did it happen? That's what we should look at. So among the origins that we find, and this is kind of a pun intended. So there was a guy named Origen, okay? He's a very famous Christian theologian from the year 245. If you study Christian history, you find that he's very important, because the year 245 is before the most important event in the history of Christianity happened. Does anyone know what is the most important event in the history of Christianity after Prophet Isa alayhi salam? The Council of Nicaea, right? And when did that take place? 325, exactly. And that's where Constantine, in 313, he accepted Christianity. He was a pagan. He used to worship all these different gods. He's a Roman emperor. And he decided, you know what? We can't beat these Christians, or you know, whatever was going on in his mind. He said, I'm going to accept Christianity. In 325, the Council of Nicaea came and formulated what Christian doctrine is going to be mainstream Christianity in the year 325. So the reason why this is very significant is any documentation you find prior to 313, before Constantine accepted Christianity and began to say what Christianity is, or change the religion in a sense, anything prior to that has great significance in understanding what Christians before Constantine actually practiced. So that's why this guy named Origen is very important. He lived in Alexandria. He's from 245. So he says that only sinners celebrate their birthdays. He said real people, like real pious people and saints, they don't celebrate their birthdays. The only people that celebrate their birthdays are sinners. And he gives two examples. He says Fir'aun. Pharaoh celebrated his birthday because according to the Bible, it says that it was Pharaoh's birthday when he actually hung his chief baker. So if you go back to the story of Prophet Yusuf, if you've ever read Surah Yusuf in the Quran, or you've read the story of Joseph in the Bible, you find out that the Pharaoh, you know, the king of Egypt, he had two people working for him, and they were put into prison. And then they came out of prison, and something happened to them. One of them was a baker. Who was the other guy? The wine bearer, right? So there's two guys. They both come out of prison. One of them starts, you know, Prophet Yusuf interpreted his dream. If you know the story of Prophet Yusuf, he interpreted his dream and he said, you're going to be pressing wine for the king, for Pharaoh at the time, a different Pharaoh from Prophet Musa. And then he said, the baker, you're going to die, and there's going to be, he had a dream that there was bread on his head, and the birds were, what were the birds doing? Eating from that thing, right? So what did that? What did Prophet Yusuf say? Prophet Joseph said that that's a sign that you're going to be killed. So according to the Bible, the baker was killed. Same story, very similar to the Quran and Prophet Yusuf, but it says that it was Pharaoh's birthday on that day. So what is origin of Alexandria? What is he saying? He's saying that if you look at a guy like Pharaoh, what was he doing that day? He was celebrating his own birthday, and on top of that, he's killing his own baker, right? The guy who used to bake bread for him and all of that stuff. He's saying this king of Egypt was a tyrant. And he's saying only tyrants and sinners would celebrate their own birthday. And then he said King Herod, he had Yahya, Prophet Yahya, John the Baptist, beheaded and killed. And it mentions this in the Quran about how the Jews, they killed their own people, so they sold him out to King Herod, and they had him killed. So he's saying that Herod was also one of the people, he killed the prophet. He killed Yahya. And he says this guy was celebrating his own birthday. So Origen is saying in the year 245 that the only type of people that celebrate their birthday are sinners. What does that tell you about the idea of Christmas? Wasn't there. Right? There was no mention in any of his writings about this idea of celebrating the birthday of Jesus, because this is prior to 313 or 325, Council of Nicaea. Look at another document, 303, again, prior to Constantine. You find Arnobius. He says the idea of celebrating the birthdays of these gods that the Romans are doing and different, you know, pagan people are doing, see, this is ridiculous. I can't believe they celebrate the birthdays of their gods. What does that tell you about early Christianity? Even in the year 300, it didn't exist. There were no celebrations. When was the first Christmas celebration going back? 336, right? First documented one. So what you find is none of the Christians before the year 313 have any documentation of even having the idea of celebrating Christmas or the birth of Prophet Isa or Prophet Jesus in any way, shape, or form. Okay? So then what happened later on is that they had this idea and they said, okay, well, we want to have a birthday celebration and we want to fix it to a specific date. So where did the date from the 25th come from? So in the year 200, okay, in the year 200, Clement of Alexandria, another very important Christian figure, he said, they're talking about the birth of Prophet Isa. They're trying to figure out what day was he born, you know, just to find out, you know, what was he born, what day did he die, what day did this happen. He said, there are those who have determined not only the year of our Lord's birth, Lord meaning Jesus for them, but also the day. And they say it took place in the 28th year of Augustus and in the 25th day of the Egyptian month of Pachon, which is May 20th. So one opinion among early Christians is that Jesus was born on May 20th. It says others say that he was born on the 24th or 25th of Farmuthi, which is April 20th or April 21st. So you got three opinions so far: May 20th, April 20th, or April 21st. All the writings from the year 200s, what did they say? It could be April 18th, it could be April 19th, it could be March 25th, it could be January 2nd, it could be November 17th, it could be November 20th. These are all the options that the Christian historians had in the year 200, in the 200s, in the 3rd century, right? Before the 300s came in. So what does that tell you? December 25th is not even an option here. There's all these different opinions. He might have been born on this day, might have been on this day. These are the different options that we're finding in this century, in the 3rd century. What happens later is things start to change. They chose December 25th in the 4th century. Why? After Constantine became Christian. What happened was the Romans used to celebrate the winter solstice on December 25th. What is a solstice? If you don't look at my notes, we already looked at my notes, right? So what is a solstice? Shortest day of the year. And when it's the shortest day of the year, it's the darkest day of the year as well. So why would the Romans celebrate this? They used to have pagan festivals. The Romans are pagan people, meaning they have a lot of different idols, they worship different deities and all of that. So they had a lot of different festivals at this time. And what they're saying is that the Christians, they saw that these Romans have this, you know, these festivals. They said, we're going to set the date of the birthday of Jesus, whether we believe it to be the birthday or not, we're going to set it on the exact same date that these people are, you know, doing all these rituals of the winter solstice and everything. So Augustine gave a sermon. So when he gave a sermon to explain why did this happen, St. Augustine is a very important Christian figure in early Christian history as well, but later, after 300, like 500 or so. He said, it is that he, meaning Jesus, was born on the day which is the shortest in our earthly reckoning and from which subsequent days began to increase in length. So he's explaining, why did we choose the 25th? We chose the 25th because the 25th is the shortest day of the year in that time. So if it's the shortest day of the year, what happens after the shortest day of the year? The days at this point in time are getting shorter and shorter and shorter in terms of time. Now they're going to reverse and they're going to start to get longer and longer and longer. He's saying we chose that because this is the date where the days start to get longer and longer in span of time. So he says, he therefore who bent low and lifted us up chose the shortest day, yet one whence light begins to increase. So he's saying this is all symbolic. Jesus being born, that what's going to happen is light starts to increase after the darkest day of the year. So there's more light coming in. So saying Jesus is symbolic of light, and therefore we're going to set his birthday at this time. But there's another reason. Isaac Newton, famous scientist in the 17th century, he says very clearly, he says there's no doubt that December 25th was chosen for only one reason and one reason only. And that's because it was designed to match the winter solstice that the Romans were celebrating at the time, what the Romans were doing. So they used to have all these festivities. Among the festivities, the Romans used to honor the sun god called Sol Invictus. So this is like, you know, when you say Sunday, all of these names that we use, Sunday and all of these are all gods. These are all coming from worshipping the sun, worshipping different. Jupiter was considered to be a god. Venus was a god. All of the planets that we even have names of, they're all considered to be gods and pagan gods. So this is part of our culture, unfortunately. This is the way we're in right now. So he says that this was specifically chosen to match that day, and they used to worship the sun god exactly at this time because they're saying the shortest day of the year. Now we're worshiping the sun god so that we can reverse this short, dark, cold days, and we can start to get nice light and get back heat and warmth and everything like that. On top of that, there were many other people worshipping their deities at the same time as the winter solstice, around the 25th or on the 25th. In Egypt, they were doing the same thing. So there's an Egyptian god, Egyptian deity, known as Horus. Horus was a son to the goddess Isis. All right, different Isis, okay? And only Muslims would get that joke. All right, so unfortunately. So he was celebrated. Horus is being celebrated at exactly the same time as the winter solstice. So if any of you have seen that documentary, what's that documentary called? Very famous on YouTube. It talks about Horus and the connection between Jesus and all that. Anyone can help me? No one has seen the documentary. Alhamdulillah, it's good. It's actually better you don't watch it. All right? So anyways, it's a very popular among college students. So they used to celebrate the same thing at the winter solstice. So it's very important to understand that. In the 12th century, one of the Christian bishops, Jacob Bar Salibi, he said it was a custom of the pagans to celebrate on the same 25th of December, the birthday of the sun. So they used to celebrate the birthday of the sun because that's when the sun is being born technically, right? Because it's the shortest day, it's the coldest day, it's the darkest day. And now they're saying the sun is technically being reborn and it's going to start to become brighter and brighter. The days are going to get longer and longer. So that's the birthday of the sun. That's the one way in which they worship the sun. And they say they used to kindle lights in token of festivity. So to celebrate the birthday of the sun, what would they do? Put a bunch of lights on. You notice people putting a bunch of lights on nowadays? It's exactly what's happening in our neighborhoods, but they don't know why. They don't understand why. This looks cool. It's just nice. And then he said, accordingly, when the doctors of the church perceived that the Christians had a leaning to this festival, this is really, really interesting. He said the church, the Christians at the time, they realized that the Christians who were living at that time they were leaning towards the festival of celebrating the birthday of the sun. But they're Christian. They're not supposed to be celebrating the birthday of the sun. But what was going on? Dominant Roman culture is naturally influencing the minority, small minority of Christians who are so impressed by the culture of the Romans that they want to imitate it. And that's always been the case. Whenever you have a dominant culture and you have a minority community, they become so impressed with the celebrations and the type of festivals that they're having that they wish that they could be part of that. They don't want to feel isolated or excluded. The same thing was happening to the Christians living at that time when they decided to set December 25th as the day of Christmas. So he said that they took counsel and they resolved that the true nativity should be solemnized on that day. Meaning they really don't care what day it really was. We're going to randomly set a day and we're going to say that's the day we're going to celebrate the birthday of Jesus. It doesn't matter whether we think he was born on that day, whether we know he wasn't born on that day. We're going to pick any day and say this is your new birthday and we're just going to have a celebration. We're going to have a party and we're going to have a festival. So this is the origin. This is how all of this actually started in the beginning. So among the customs that you have of Christmas, what do we see? You see a mix of pagan customs because the Romans. You see a mix of Christian customs because it's Christians adopted this and tried to mix it together. And then you see some secular things that were just introduced later and they have nothing to do with either paganism or Christianity. So what happened there? Let's take the Christmas tree. Okay. So the idea of the Christmas tree actually started in the 16th century. Prior to that, there were no Christmas trees. Nobody put up a tree or anything like that. In fact, there's a verse in the Bible which prohibits people from actually having these trees because they were a form of pagan worship, that people used to worship these trees. So there was pagan tree worship that existed at the time. Trees used to be dedicated to different gods, like a tree was dedicated to Thor, you know, not like the Marvel comic movie and stuff like that. Well, that's representative of a god. So that's one god that they used to worship. So they would pick a god among the Roman gods that they were there, and they would dedicate a tree to that god. So the Christians were like, it's pretty cool. It's like these trees, you know, let's take something like that too. But then they said the trees that the Romans are using, they don't really work that well for us. We want to try a different type of tree. What tree represents Christianity best? Right? Well, what's the most fundamental doctrine in Christianity, the mainstream Christianity? What's the most important doctrine that every Christian will remind you of for the most part? Jesus died for your sins, and part of that comes into Trinity, which even the Quran addresses, right? وَلَا تَقُولُوا ثَلَاثَ. Do not say three, do not say Trinity. So the idea of the Trinity, that there's the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, right? This idea, and they even do it with this one, two, and three, right? Said, well, what kind of tree can represent these three things? We need something that's more triangular. So we need to find a triangular-shaped tree. So the evergreen tree works really well. Evergreen tree is perfect. I'm going to tell you why later. Or the fir tree, or any tree that has a more triangular shape because it represents the three points of the Trinity. Right? So this is the origin of the idea and the symbolism behind the Christmas tree. Right? So, and then I'll tell you about evergreen later. Then there's nativity plays. Right? So let's see if you can guess some other things before I move on. What other customs do you find in Christmas that are things that are associated with Christmas, just to see how cognizant you are of Christmas traditions. If has anyone been to a Christian school besides myself? Nobody attended a Christian school? Yeah, you did. You attended a Christian school? Anyone else attended Christian school? Right, for even 1 year. Okay, I went to Peace Lutheran School. What school did you go to? Connolly? Okay, Protestant or Catholic? Catholic. What school do you go to? Olive Branch? Okay, what is it? Protestant? Non-denominational? Evangelical? Okay. All right. So some of you have been... So can anyone tell me what's associated with Christmas? What other customs are... So you guys should know for sure. Caroling. Christmas caroling. Good. Like singing songs and caroling. What else? We got one. Outside of the trees. Santa Claus. Okay. What else? Stockings. Midnight Mass. Kufis, you say. you went like this, like wearing cool? You mean the Santa Claus hats? Okay, the Santa Claus caps. What else? What's that? Gifts under the tree. Yep. You say bread? Honey baked ham. Yes. Alhamdulillah. I hope not. Inshallah. Yeah, what else? Yes. Having an angel or a star on top of the tree. What else? What colors? Green? Red? Is there anything else? Gold. Right? And some white. Yes. Shopping. That's capitalism, right? Adam Smith. That's a secular part of it. Right? What else? Candy canes. Exactly. Snowflakes? I guess, yeah, snowflake. Reindeer, all of that stuff, right? So we got some. There's some other type. What type of plants are associated with Christmas? Mistletoe and poinsettia, chestnuts. Okay, plant specifically. Garland, wreaths. Okay, good. So this kind of stuff, right? So we have a general understanding. So let's look at some of these things which are very common, right? Eggnog, yes. All right, we're done now, inshallah. So the nativity play, all right, this idea of, have you seen these scenes where they show like shepherds in a manger and they're showing little baby Jesus being born and there's hay around and then there's people there and all of that? That's called the nativity scene, the plays of nativity, where Jesus is being born in this specific place. This is coming from a story in two of the Gospels of the Bible. It's being mentioned. Where did this come from? When did this originate? When did people started doing these nativity scenes and nativity plays? It started in the 10th century, right? So this is very, very late. This is coming in the 900s, right? You look at the colors. What does red signify? The blood, whose blood? The blood of Jesus at the crucifixion. What does green signify? Eternal life, because you're reading from my slide, right? Eternal life. Right? And what does gold, hopefully you didn't read it, what does gold signify? Well, it's true, wealth. But is that like the capitalism thing? No. The gold signifies, if you know the story from the Bible, these three magi or these three wise men who are looking for prophecy, they come and visit and they're trying to find out about the birth of Jesus. They give gifts. Three of them give gifts. One of the gifts was this gift of gold, and this signifies royalty, right? So that's why the color gold is mixed in as well. So you're going to see a lot of red, a lot of green, a lot of gold. And what will happen is Muslims will be like, oh yeah, it's the season, man. Let's dress up in red and green. What you're dressing up in is eternal life and blood. But you don't understand that. You don't understand the symbolism behind that. It's important before you start, putting on the colors. Hopefully no one wore the red, alhamdulillah, no hijabs, I don't see any red, green hijabs, I don't see anything like that. You should understand, what is the significance, where is the symbolism behind all of this? Where does it come from? It has a symbolism. The lights, we talked about already, right? Coming of Jesus as like the sun and the light, and then the season shifting over, right? Ivy, all right? So ivy actually symbolizes Jesus coming to earth. So the reason why you find like these certain type of leaves and all of that, that's what it symbolizes. Holly, another type. What does it symbolize? Holly, right? Holly, it's type of thing, plant. So holly symbolizes protection against pagans and against witches. And inside that holly, there are thorns and there are berries. The thorns, they chose this for a reason. The thorns symbolize, they say that the crown of thorns that was put on Jesus when he was being crucified symbolizes that. And the berries symbolize, again, red, the blood, right? While the crucifixion is taking place, all right? So then you have the evergreen. So again, why evergreen trees? Why using evergreen, leaves and all of that? It's because evergreen is the one tree, mainly, that doesn't lose its leaves in winter. So if it's not losing its leaves in winter, what is it symbolizing? Similar to the color green, right? That everlasting life and eternal life and all of that. So all of this comes back into the exact same thing. And then you have Santa Claus and Father Christmas and Saint Nicholas and all that stuff invented later. And then you have candy canes as well. Again, what color are candy canes? Red and white, right? So what does the red symbolize? It's the blood, Again. So that, and why is it in the shape of a cane? Right? It's a funny story, actually, how candy canes came about. So basically, people were doing this celebration of Christ's Mass inside the church, and the children were misbehaving. Some of you can relate to that, right? And the children are, you know, getting out of hand. So some people are like, yeah, we just need to give something sweet to these kids, kind of keep them in check, right? So they started coming up, and some people said, okay, we're going to give them these sweets, and we're going to give them this thing and candy and all of that stuff. And they said, why don't we design something that represents Christmas and what we're celebrating? They said, well, what thing represents Christmas in some way, shape, or form? So what does the candy cane represent from this list of what we've seen? Can you think of anything along these lines that resembles it in this list? I know it's a little bit tricky. What's that? The shepherd's cane from the nativity scene. It's exactly what it is, right? They said, look, let's take something. So the guy who came up with the idea, he said, look, we have a stick. Let's make the stick that's something more significant that resembles Christmas or Christianity. So he looked and said, okay, what can we do? And he said, okay, we can curve the stick and we can make it look like the shepherd's cane from one of the nativity scenes. And that's where you get candy canes from, okay? Then you got an Advent wreath, right? So there's this wreath that people are coming. This was put in by Lutherans in the 16th century. And now everyone, you know, a lot of different denominations, they practice it. So this idea, it's evergreen. Again, we know why it's evergreen. They put four candles, sometimes five, one in the middle. The four candles, what they do is they symbolize the passage of 4 weeks of Advent before the coming of this time. So they light one candle per week, light the second candle, third candle, so you know it's coming. And they do this at home and they do this at church and all of that. And that's why they put the wreath on the door. Now it became like a decoration and everything. So all of these things have some type of origin to them. Okay? So that's just a very brief history of Christmas and how it came about.